guess the this time of year is a very difficult time of year to sort of figure out what are we supposed to really be doing in Shul and Yom Kippur. You see people crying and beating on their breasts, and you know, whether the way it looks to other people, and of course that's really, we know that because we're measuring by ourselves, how long is this going to last? How long is this remorse, this feeling of doing something wrong, going to last? And you get a sort of feeling that person is crying and screaming because I'll change, because they want their final ceiling for the year to be a favorable one. And it seems very dishonest. Doesn't seem sincere. Doesn't seem like a sincere apology, for sure not. And secondly, so I think you're deluding yourself. I mean, you really think next year you're not talking Lashon Hara at all? Is that what you start to believe about yourself? I think then we have a bigger problem than talking Lashon Hara. You know, self-delusion is a much more serious and serious problem. But exactly, what are we supposed to be thinking about on Yom Kippur? From the Talmud, it sounds like that our Yom Kippur doesn't bear any relationship to what the Yom Kippur was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah says that in the afternoon on Yom Kippur, they used to go out and make Shidduchim. Doesn't exactly go consistent with what we would think would be appropriate behavior on Yom Kippur. And that's, the Mishnah says, that's what they used to do. Young women and men would go out and they would, you know, suggest this one for this one, etc. And it's doesn't exactly sound like what one should be doing on Yom Kippur. So what is Yom Kippur? What should we really be thinking about? And how can we feel that we had a meaningful change? The Mishnah says, "Im eina nili mili." If I'm not for myself, who's going to be for me? So Hillel felt that it's very important for the great rabbi to say, please start thinking about number one. That really sounds like a very rabbinical message. Start thinking about number one. Most of us don't think that's our problem, that we're not thinking about number one. What is he talking about? It sounds like it doesn't make any sense. If I'm not for me, who's for me? Doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Everybody's for themselves. I think Hillel's saying a very important message to us, and it takes some time to internalize this, and hopefully Yom Kippur can help us make this, concretize this message. Yes, everybody does what they want to do. Everybody is for themselves. Whatever I want, if I can afford it, it's not illegal or fattening, then we do it. But is that really what I want? How many things when we're doing them we can't stand ourselves for doing it while we're doing it? I'm doing what I want. Everybody does what they want. That's what my definition of doing for number one is. I do what I want. But very few of us do what is really good for us, which I really want even more. Let's say a person who smokes. He enjoys smoking. And even when it wasn't such a well-known how dangerous it was, people knew that it had some dangers. But even without that, it was, you woke up in the morning, the cough. There was enough discomfort. And you knew you weren't doing something was good for you. On the other hand, it relaxed you. And you started making choices. But you had, even when it wasn't well known, you weren't sure it was really good for you. But so what? Right now I'm enjoying it, I do it. I'm not sure it's not good for me. What about a few people are sitting around talking, and someone's making fun of somebody, doing a very very intelligently and funny, and people start laughing. Somebody you like, pretty soon you're also joining with some kind of dig, because you want to be one of the camaraderie. But while you're doing it, you can't stand yourself for what you're doing. You're enjoying what you're doing, but at some level, you don't feel good about what you're doing. And it's very difficult for us to have enough control of ourselves to do what we really know is good for us, and do we rather do what we want to do, even though deep down, almost while we're doing it, we know it's not good for us. What Hillel is saying, we have to be more for ourselves. We actually have to do what's good for ourselves. We should choose what's good for ourselves. That's a difficult thing to figure out. What is good for us? That's not simple either. It's very difficult to understand. Do I hear an echo? No?
There's a person.
It's very hard for a person to actually know and figure out what's good for them. We have within ourselves all different type of myriad of feelings, things, internal pressures to do things, needs, drives, and we know they're pushing us in a way that we don't think is good for us, but we do it. So what exact? But on the other hand, to abstain from something wouldn't be good for me either. So it's very hard even to find the measure and the line, what's good and what's not good for me. We have to begin by sort of trying to figure out what is good for us. And we don't do that almost ever. We do what we want to do, and with something that we know not, maybe we'll stop ourselves and we'll control ourselves. And of course, you feel a little frustrated and upset that you deprived yourself of something, which is not a healthy feeling too. Then you go around angry and upset with yourself because you controlled yourself in something that you would have liked to do. And it comes out. It may not come out now. It comes out a half hour later when you're talking to your spouse or you're talking to your children. That inner upset with yourself, even if you made a right decision and you did something you didn't want to do, but you did it by disciplining yourself and controlling yourself and depriving yourself, you don't feel good about yourself. And that internal upset, it comes out. It doesn't stay inside. It is very hard for a person to really, to make the effort to figure out what's good for them, and B, to even know what's good for them. Yom Kippur is the day of the year that actually Hashem gave us, and he actually helps us, and we'll see how, to actually try and figure out what is really good for us. And therefore, the things that I am, what I'm supposed to try and achieve on Yom Kippur, is that when I say I don't want to do this, or I'm sorry I did this, I should actually really mean, not that I'm sorry because I'm going to get beaten up, I'm sorry because I understand this isn't good for me, and I want to do what's good for me. God doesn't want me to choose what's not good for me. The whole system is good for me, but I have to understand what's good for me. Listen to the language of the Rambam, like this. Even though this is in the second chapter of the laws of repentance, even though repentance and prayer is always good, in the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's even better. And it's immediately accepted. In other words, your prayers and your repentance is immediately accepted. As it's written, it brings a pasuk. So, but when is this true? That's true as far as the individual. But a community, whenever they repent, and whenever they cry out, Belev Sholem, with a full heart, God answers them. Brings a sentence. So he says like this. So it sounds like, if you don't read it carefully, that the individual has certain abilities during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during the 10 days of repentance, and a community all year round has the same power. But that's not what he says. He says like this. A community all year round, if they do repent and they pray with a full heart, God answers their prayers. When he talks about the individual during this time of year, he says his prayer, he doesn't say that they prayed with a full heart. They pray, and he says their prayer is immediately accepted. Not answered, it's accepted. So there's two different conditions. You don't have to pray with a full heart, the same intensity that a community has to pray. And secondly, it's not God answers your prayers, he accepts your prayers, which is something you ask for, that's what it becomes. I think what he's saying is like this. When we deal all year round with God, we're dealing with the God that's outside of us. That's the way we perceive God to be outside of us. And community gets together. God is our king. We ask him for things. He listens. We stand in front of him and pray, and we make a serious prayer. He answers our prayers if it's serious. And he will answer them. That's the power of the Jewish community. These 10 days, God is actually allows us to access the godliness within ourselves. And therefore, God doesn't answer our prayers. The godliness within ourselves allows us to define ourselves. There's a godliness within ourselves. Everybody was created with the godliness within themselves, our soul. We have a difficulty accessing it. During these 10 days, we can access it. We feel connected to it. We're able to access it. And if we pray, we can change what has to be. You don't need full, it's not prayer with a full heart, because it's not praying, it's not asking and answered, it's redefining how things have to be. We can actually change ourselves. It means during these 10 days of the year, a person has a greater awareness of that the core of his being is spiritual. The core of his being is his soul. We have a soul. Even if we know, we say the words, but it's hard for us to access our soul all year round. During these days, there's a infusion of power that becomes more pronounced, the soul. And since our soul becomes more pronounced, we can actually have a greater clarity as to who we are. When you have a greater clarity as to who you are, you have a better understanding of what's good for you and what's not good for you. We understand who we are. We have so many different things going on in our heads, in our experiences, in our bodies. We have physicality, which pulls us in one way. We have the intellect, which pulls us in another way. When we actually can get to the core of our being, our spirit, the core of our spiritual being, then we have a greater clarity and to be able to see what is really good for us. The end of these 10 days is Yom Kippur. That's when it's the clearest. And therefore, Yom Kippur is the day that we are able to understand ourselves better, what's really good for us, provided we focus and we try to understand who are we, what's our purpose in the world, what do we want to accomplish for ourselves. And the main effort of the day is, and God created the fasting. That's not a goal. Fasting is in order to free us from our general narcissist behavior, that we can more focus on who we really are. Now, it's true that most of us, the way we measure Yom Kippur is 10 more hours to fast, 9 more hours to break fast. It shouldn't be that at all. I don't know if young ladies, I'm not sure, but I remember when I was a young man, my mother would call me, come on, it's supper time. What do you mean? I'm playing ball. I mean, I didn't want to eat. You know, when you're really doing something you really want, food is just not on your agenda. It's just not, you just eat. Playing tennis, I'm not sure. But You just don't want to eat. You don't have. It's not that you don't have time. You're not hungry. You're doing something that's a lot more engaging and fulfilling than a meal. My mother was a good cook, but I was enjoying more in touch with myself, and therefore I just didn't want to eat. I wasn't interested in it. It wasn't me. All the kids were like that. My mother would Suppers waiting. It was irrelevant. Kids like to play ball. That should be the feeling of Yom Kippur. You want to know if you had a Yom Kippur, is are you engaged and doing something that you're finding meaningful that's not necessary to you? You're not interested in food. That's really the goal of Yom Kippur. Just to get a way of measuring if we're being successful. We have something to do. It's not to deprive ourselves of food for 24 hours. It's to create an atmosphere by which we're able to focus on things that we want to really focus on without feeling compelled to take care of all my physical needs the same way. And therefore the contemplation of who I am, I now understand myself better. I can, my whole self, the physical part of myself, I know all year round, but this time of year, I have a better understanding of the core of my being, my soul, and I should start thinking about what really is good for me. And therefore in the Al-Chetz, it's not that we started the question, it seems pretty phony, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. The truth of the matter is, that's probably the one day a year that you're actually honest with yourself. The only day of the year that a person is honest is when, is Yom Kippur. That's, you're doing what you would really want to do. The fact that during the year we do what we want to do and we don't do what we really want to do, that's not being honest with ourselves. The Rambam writes that the greatest pressure on a person, the external pressure, is his community. When's the last time your kids say, come back home and say, what are you wearing clothes like that for? All the kids are. And what they're telling you is that they understand, and you understand, they don't even feel comfortable doing it. But since this is what their friends are doing, they feel more uncomfortable not doing what their friends are doing because that's a bigger external pressure on them. So they're not doing what they want to do. You're talking about what they want, what they know. You know and they know the way they're brought up, that's not appropriate dress, but it doesn't make a difference. All the kids are doing it, and therefore they feel that external pressure to behave like others. That means all the year we're phonies. When we start acting and we allow our behavior to be determined by what other people expect of us, or other people, if you want to be accepted in the group, you have to behave a certain way. That's really not being honest. But we all are too weak, and we give in to that. But that doesn't mean we're doing what we really know is good for us and what we really deep down want to do. So I think it's the opposite. That when we, instead of thinking about being a phony in Yom Kippur, maybe it's the one day we should be able to feel about, what do I really want to do? Do I really want to talk Lashon Hara? When I'm with a group and we're talking about somebody, I join in and I chime in because I don't want to be thought either stupid, or I want the approval of my friends, or I want to be part of the conversation. But that's not what I really want to do. So in Yom Kippur, when I say that is really a sin, that's the one day I'm actually being honest with myself. During the year, I say to myself, yeah, it's not that nice, but you know, friendship is a good value too. It's nice to have friends, and it's nice that people think good of you, and if I need them or they need me, we can rely on each other, and we compromise a lot of values that we know we shouldn't be compromising because we want to be accepted in the group. We want to be part of the society. So it's actually almost exactly the opposite. What we have to be thinking about in Yom Kippur is, who do I really want to be? What is really good for me? And there's a lot of decisions that we make during the year, almost every on a daily basis, not what I know is really good for me. And in Yom Kippur, hopefully we'll have the clarity to figure out what's good for us. I say God helps us by giving us greater access to the soul that's in us more than any other time of year. There's a godliness, an internal godliness, so to speak. And if we have the clarity, the ability to see, and hopefully to make that decisions that will change and solidify and internalize in me that this is who I really want to be. who, deep down, who I really, really want to be. There's a very interesting language in Maimonides regarding free choice. He says the following thing. It sounds difficult to at first blush. He says like this. God told the angels after man ate from the tree, and God sentenced him to death. He says to the angels, this is in the scriptures, he says to the angels, you know, man is unique in that he has free will, and there's an Eitz HaChaim, there's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and he'll be able to go and grab from the tree of life and thwart our decision to that he has to die. This is a discussion in the Torah. How can we can't let man stay here, because man has the free will to take from the tree of life, and if he takes from the tree of life, then he'll live forever, and that will thwart my decree to kill him. So Maimonides says, what God was telling the angels, man has free will, and nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop him. What does that mean? What does that mean? Nobody can stop. First of all, over here, he's being stopped. What does we do? We throw him out of the Garden of Eden. We put angels standing in front of the garden with swords to prevent them from coming back. What he's saying is like this. Nobody can stop him for the effect it has on him. You make the right choice, you actually have the final ability to define yourself, to make yourself that. If you make a real choice, you become that. The only thing that can stop him is a heavenly decision, a heavenly court like we're doing now, and deciding that Adam, we're not going to let him do that, but even then we can't stop him from doing it. We can create a situation where he's going to have to fight for it. And we'll put down angels and we'll put swords and to prevent them. But a man has decision. In fact, more than that. When a person makes a decision to do what's wrong, that defines you too. God helps you do what's wrong. If you want to do something that's wrong, God helps you do what's wrong. As incredible as it sounds, God doesn't work against us. God empowers us. You make a decision to do right, God helps you. Make a decision to do something wrong, God helps you. B'derech she'odem rotze leilech, in the path a person wants to go, molichanan. The Almighty leads you and guides you there. We have such incredible power within ourselves to define ourselves. Free will means I can be who I want to be. I can make myself who I decide to be. That even if I decide to do something wrong, I can access heavenly powers to allow me to accomplish my nefarious and evil things. And therefore, a lot of the decisions we make during the year, a lot of people say, I know God loves me. This is good, and that's good. Yeah. How many times do you hear this? I know God loves me. Poo-poo. Parnos is unbelievable. The family is unbelievable. All that really means is, Parnos is great, that means you really want money. That's all it means. It has nothing to do that God wants you to have it. It means you really want it. Anything a person really, really, really wants, you can have. Unless, as we said, God makes a special heavenly decree against it. But you want to do something bad and you're successful, that's because you wanted to do something bad. God helps you do something bad. By the way, it's not a small bad. That's said on Balaam. Balaam wants to go curse the Jews and to get rid of the Jews. God helps him go. That's a huge... He's doing something really harmful. Something's going to harm the Jewish people. B'derech she'odem rotze leilech. We have abilities to change ourselves. Our power of decision is we have the ability to define ourselves. The only thing is, during the year, we make a lot of bad decisions because we're not really sure who we really want to be and what I really want to be and things that I think I really want. But I'm really more honest with myself. Probably I say that's wrong for me. But it's hard. Yom Kippur's a time we can make clear decisions to what's really good for us and what's really bad for us. Because we now have a better understanding of who we are. We're free from a lot of our physical needs don't have to be taken care of. And therefore, we can focus on what is really good. What do I really, really want for myself? And if we do that, we will make a positive effect on ourselves. So there's nothing to feel phony about it. Yes, it's true. If all you're doing is not interested in changing, you're only interested because you should get a good decision that the court shouldn't punish you, that's being a phony. And that's nothing that's not, okay, you know, that's crying, so God, don't kill me. But if you really are making a serious Yom Kippur, that's not what it's about. It's about making a decision, this isn't good for me. I really don't want to be this. I'd like to define myself differently. I want to do what I feel is good. Other people aren't dressing this way, but I think I know it's right for me. Other people are sending kids to different schools than me, but I know this is what's good for me. I have to do this. We're such creatures of a society that most of the decisions we make have very little to do with that we know. The biggest shock I had, the biggest shock in all the years I've been here, we started a school, before the school. And I figured there was a school that was going to be, for the youngsters, going to be more of a people that were the B'nai Torah, that were going to want their children to have a more serious Jewish education. And I found that whether it's the left homes or the most Haredi homes, the only would determine where the child would go to school had zero to do with where they were going to get the education that was better, the value system that was better, where it was going to be easier for the mother to make carpool. 100%. It became a social thing, and people made decisions based on carpool. But, you know, that's a real thing to a person, too. I don't take it away. But it's convenient, it's easier, but that's not something that you really want. Is that what you really want from your child? You want to look your child 25 years from now? And the fact that they don't have a serious Torah education, the answer is because it was easier for me to make carpool? Or even today, as a parent, of course, you see in other parents, I'm sure doing exactly the same thing, making decisions. Take a child out of yeshiva for a week or two. Why? Father, wants to travel. Nice to be with a son. I assure you, if he was in college, he wouldn't do that. This is a father who's a Ben Torah who wants his son to hopefully grow up. But, you know, father's in the mood to travel. He's not traveling to Vegas. He's traveling to Israel. It's the same thing, just a little nicer dressing to that same age. So you take a child out of a serious learning program because he'll be in Israel. You know that's not right. You know, you're off. Nice to be with your kid. You wouldn't take him out if he was in college. You wouldn't do that. And you know that you want to give your child the message that learning is not less serious than college. You don't believe that learning is less serious than college, but then make it there. Be whatever. We make decisions not on what we know is good for us. We make decisions what we want to do. That hopefully Yom Kippur, while we're sitting in shul, free of everything, the Almighty infusing us with a greater clarity, that we'll be able to make decisions of who we really want to be. Is there a better day to get married than that? Is there a better time? Isn't this like one of the huge problems in every shidduch? He wants this, she wants this. So the only thing I'm interested in most of the years, she's a size 2. And whatever the issues that young men have, and whatever the, you know, my wife has to be a high price, you know, high powered lawyer. At some point, when you're a little bit more, really, what's good? What's the character? The real character? She weighs a few extra pounds, doesn't make a difference, or he doesn't have quite that job, but he's a mensch, really a mensch. On the day that you have greater clarity of who you really are and what you really want is the only day you should even be thinking about making a shidduch. Wasn't that Yom Kippur was because they had spare time? That was the day to make a shidduch. People had greater clarity to what they were. A young girl and a young man met. They knew what they're looking for, and she knew what she was looking for. We all do have different things, different agendas in life and different purposes in life. That is the day to make shidduch. Yom Kippur is the one day of the year that we should really know who we are. That's what I think it's for. And And if we do that and we make decisions based on that, then of course we will legitimately be saved and will legitimately merit life. There's no question about that. If we just cry and scream, and God does have rahmanis too, but that just takes away the punishment, but it doesn't develop us, it doesn't give us what we're supposed to accomplish today. We're supposed to accomplish changing ourselves, not even changing, just knowing who we are and strengthening our self-definition. That's what the davening should be. We should be looking into ourselves. Am I doing what I really want to be? Or am I doing things, not what I really want to be? I like, is money driving me? Things that we compromise, things that we know we shouldn't compromise. But that requires a huge effort, and God's helping us one day a year to be able to redefine ourselves. Hopefully, if we do this, we'll all be zocha to have earned another year of life. We'll all live another year. That's almost a guarantee. God, with his infinite forgiveness, finds all merits to keep us all alive. Unless a person's time has come out. I don't think there's any statistical connection between not going to shul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and early mortality. And if there would be, there would already be some actuary to figure that out, and the rates for the insurance companies would be down for the people. It has nothing to do, because God's going to keep us alive. He does. But are we going to merit living? Are we entitled to live? Or God's gifting us life? That's a big difference. Yom Kippur, we should earn it. And the way we earn it is by making serious decisions, redefining ourselves. Jesus Hashem, we should all have a wonderful year, families, and earn the feeling of chayim.